There's a powerful word that's going to be released. Is it powerful?
Powerful.
Because the word of God is powerful. It's living. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It has the ability to come into our hearts and shift everything and change it. So open your heart up to the Lord. Allow your heart to be that fertile ground. Because God's wanting to produce seed, and he's wanting to put seed inside of you that will produce a harvest. I just declare a harvest time over us. A season of great fruitfulness over the house. I thank you that your word has the ability to change lives. And so I'm asking, God, that your word would connect into us in such a way that would shift everything. Thank you for speaking to us in every aspect of our being and ministering to us through your word. We just thank you for the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to talk this morning about what we have is not enough. Right? Right. Our quest is not simply Bible study. It's Bible demonstration. It's a spirit demonstration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Hear what Paul said? In the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that your faith might stand, not rest in the wisdom of men, but be in the power of God. Your faith would be in the power of God. Hallelujah. Paul laid out his ministry priority for the Corinthian church to say, you can't just stand on the words of men. You have to stand on the word of God. You have to stand on his power, on his Spirit. You have to allow him to move in you. He was focused on the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And without placing their faith in God's power, they were on shaky ground. They were preoccupied with ideologies and thoughts and teaching and all kinds of stuff. But what they needed was the power of God. Power of God. Because Christianity is not a philosophy. It's a relationship. It's an encounter with God that makes the concepts powerful. We must require that of ourselves. Paul made another stunning statement in Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The original language puts it, the kingdom of God is not in logos, but in dunamis. Amen? It's in dynamite power. We're not just a little bit of power, but all explosive power in your lives. Apparently, they had some teachers who were just teaching good words, good doctrine, but displayed little power. But that's not the pattern that Jesus had set for them. Dunamis is the power of God being displayed. You can't hide dunamis under a basket. It just blows the basket apart. Right? It's imparted in a Holy Spirit outcome. And what we have is not enough. This has been a great service. But it's not enough. We need more. We need the more of God. Bill Johnson put it this way. He said, there's a difference between what we have in our account and what we have in our possession. And we need to move more from our account into our possession. God has given us everything we need. But we don't always have it all in our possession. We need to move it into there. It's no wonder that people are falling away from the church because there's no power. But they have to know that it's biblically legal to pursue the more. You have to know that. Amen? The more of God. Last week, Ruth talked about Moses and how he pursued God. And what he received from that. And we need to tell people, you can pursue God and receive more. And I'm convinced that we can catch a powerful glimpse of the more of God in the expression of Pentecost. That's why the title of the sermon was, What We Have Is Not Enough, Pentecostal Fire. There is more, and we need to shout it boldly from the rooftops. I know there's more because I've seen it. I've seen glimpses of the more of God in my life. I've become gripped with the more of God in the Bible and what the scriptures teach and what they don't teach. I've experienced the presence and the power of God in absolutely outstanding ways. I've seen numerous people touched and healed by God. I've seen the prophetic, we saw this morning, the prophetic word as God ministers to people and touches them. I've seen and participated in the ways of God so many times, but there's more. And I'm equally convinced that in the scriptures, it teaches us that there's so much more. It tells me that it's possible for someone's shadow to heal the sick. Have you had that happen to you? Where your shadow passed over them and then they were healed? There's more. It happened to Peter. In Acts 5:15, it says, "So they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter might fall on them." Wow. Or anointed pieces of cloth being sent to people and healing and deliverance coming. In Acts 19:11, it says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, and his hands are no different than your hands." Say yes. Yeah. "So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them." Extraordinary miracles done by the hands of ordinary people. It's possible for entire cities and regions to come to repentance. In Acts 8:5, it says, "Peter went down from the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes were with one accord, heeded the words spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed." And then the last phrase, "And there was great joy in the city." The whole city was changed because Philip went down and preached. Jesus calls us to greater works himself. He said, "I say to you, believe in me. The works that I do, you will do also. And even greater works shall you do." Even greater. "Because I go to the Father." But there's one thing that the Bible doesn't teach us. This is a dramatic pause. It doesn't say God stopped moving in power. It doesn't say it any place. It never alludes at all to the fact that God ceased doing miracles. That he ceased doing wonders. That he ceased moving in people's lives. That he ceased speaking to us. God still moves in the earth. Amen. Jesus established a timeless model. And the early church demonstrated it boldly. And he calls us into that. He's got an invitation for us to step into what he's doing. Because when unbelievers cross the threshold of our church, they don't come to find Hollywood or Broadway. They come to find God and to see him move in power. They don't want to be insulted by a worldly church. We have been entrusted with the otherworldly, with the Holy Spirit. We have been entrusted with the precious Holy Spirit. People that don't know Jesus, they're not seeking entertainment. They inwardly groan for the real and living presence of God. They want to find a place where he's at. And he's here. He is here. And we want the more of God. The more of his presence. More of his goodness. The more of his power. More of his spirit in our lives. We want the more. Because what we have is not enough. It's not enough. Our worship services. These very services that you're sitting in right now. They should be so holy and so filled with God's presence and power, that unsaved men and women who come get saved. That broken people who come get set free. That sick people who come get healed. That God's power is manifest. We don't come to this place to be entertained or out of a sense of duty. We come because we want to meet God. We want to come and experience his power. We want to come and experience his Holy Spirit. We want to be sent out with his word of power. So many times we do it the other way around. We just come. Oh, well, it was just church. I had to go. But that's not the real reason. A.W. Tozer, a 19th century preacher from South Africa, he said, we should come to a church worship service not anticipating entertainment, but expecting the high and holy manifestation of God's presence. So true. The Lord is calling us to raise up a standard so that we can witness a greater demonstration of his power. If we have low expectations of Christianity, that's what we'll get. If we can continue to settle for low expectations, that's what we'll get. But what if we actually believed the book of Acts gave us a standard for life to be lived? What if Pentecost was the standard for Christianity, not just in their day, but in ours? What if we believed and acted on the verses in Matthew chapter 10? The first verse says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. That's what he gave his disciples. That's what he gave us. Then in verse 7 it says, he said to him, as you go out then, preach. Say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I tell you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's within you. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I like the way the Passion Translation reads this verse. I'm going to read those two verses out of the Passion Translation. It says, as you go, preach the message. Heaven's kingdom realm is accessible, close enough to touch. You must continually bring healing to lepers and to those who are sick, and make it your habit to break demonic presence off of people. Raise the dead back to life. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom, so freely release it to others. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom. Raise your hand. I have received the power of the kingdom. Amen. I have received the power of the kingdom. Freely give it then. God just wants so much to break out among us. He wants so much to move among us in powerful ways. He wants so much to release his presence in our midst. Francis Chan wrote in his prophetic book, Letters to the Church, he said, we have become too easily satisfied. We are content if people leave the church pleased when God wants them awed. It's time to experience a God who leaves us undone in his power with breathless awe and wonder. It's time to experience a God that does that. And he will. He is. Maybe we haven't seen those kinds of experiences because we haven't really expected him to move. We haven't really expected his power to be displayed. And we have comfortably resigned ourselves to the status quo. This is just the way it is. But it didn't exclusively belong to the church back in Pentecost. It's for today too. We're not waiting for a revival someday, sometime. Revival is coming. It's here. Pentecost is the standard of Christianity. It's been available since Jesus rose. And it still is. And God is looking for people who actually rise to the standard that he has set, that he has made available through his cross and through the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Because if God is doing something right now, and we are the people that he has chosen to fill with his Spirit in the earth, then that reality should shake us up. Yeah. We must arise and be responsible right now. We are the people that God has called. There's many churches in our area, and people in all those churches are called by God. But we are some of them. We're some of them. We are called to reach the world. So if the Spirit begins to subtly stir in our midst and we become aware that He is moving, then we must choose obedience over safety. Amen. We don't really want the safety of a predictable Christianity. We really don't want the safety of packed auditoriums if there's no presence of God. We don't really want the safety of making people comfortable if we make the Spirit of God uncomfortable. Our response to the subtle stirrings of the Holy Spirit can determine the future course of our church and of our nation. So many of the words that were given this morning were beyond the people here. I mean, they were to the people here, but they spoke about them touching nations, regions, peoples outside this place with the power of God. Because that's what God's called us to do. He's called us to be carriers of His presence wherever we go. In every situation, to be carriers of His presence. He is looking for a company of people that He can trust with the outbreak of His Spirit. He is seeking people who will change the schedule to adjust to His program and not making Him try to adjust to ours. He is looking to rest on environments where people simply make the resolve to make space for Him, to honor Him. I don't really understand how God does that, but I know that heaven works in cooperation with earth. He works in cooperation with us. As we are willing, He is able. I want to welcome Him with heart and hands open wide. I want to see Him move. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and move in this place. Move in this place in ways you haven't before. Will we welcome the Holy Spirit when He comes? I hope so. Because it requires doing things on God's terms, not ours. It demands upgrading our definition of revival to heaven's definition of revival. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. I just long for us to be the people that God has chosen in this place at this time to show forth His power and His grace to touch lives and change nations. Will we be that people? Will we be that people? Will we make a choice to say yes to the Holy Spirit? Do we pray that we may be the people to release the display of His power? Are you hungry for outpouring? Are you hungry for revival? I've got good news. The Holy Spirit's been given already. He is in you. He indwells you. And our job is to steward His presence well. Hallelujah. Let's commit to welcome the Holy Spirit's activity on His terms and not ours. You know, John Arnott said, the miracle of a Holy Spirit encounter is not someone falling down or shaking. The miracle is that when God touches you, you don't explode. Because He's so powerful. He's so powerful. So powerful. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said about King Aslan, who was represented by Christ. He said, He isn't safe, but He's good. God's touch is so powerful, so mighty, but He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. So let's remove the limits from the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, let's remove every limit there is that we have put on Him. We have preconceived ideas about how God will work. Let's cry out to experience Him in His fullness. Cry out to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's press past our own discomfort and into the fullness of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's cry out for more. Let's cry out for more. Sometimes we pray, Lord, I know the heavens are open, but God, I'm really tired of reading about it. I'm just tired of defending it as a theological reality. I know that you heal and deliver. And I'm convinced that you perform miracles today. You break into time and space with your spirit. But I'm weary of just hearing about it, Lord. I want to see it. I want to see it. Lord, show me what it looks like when you break into this place with your Holy Spirit in ways beyond our imagination. I want to see what it looks like when your Holy Spirit is open over cities and regions and nations. Holy Spirit, come in power. Holy Spirit, come in purity. Come and fill us now. Kingdom history is not made by ordinary and perfect people. It's made by ordinary and perfect people who recognize that heaven is open over us. And God lives inside of us. And then we decide to live as though these truths are a present day reality. Let's stand. Now is the time that we've been entrusted with. Now is the time that we have responsibility for. We can't change the past and we don't know what the future holds, but right now, we can say yes to the Holy Spirit. We can say yes to His Pentecostal fire. We can believe Him to move in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we just thank you so much today for moving in our service, for moving among us, for touching lives, shaping destinies, healing, bringing deliverance, freedom to people. We thank you, Lord, that you have moved in powerful ways today. We give you praise and we honor what you've done. We worship you and praise you for what you've done, Lord. But Lord, we want more. We want to see more of your power. We want to see more of your glory. We want to see more demonstration of your spirit and your power. What Paul cried out for the Corinthians, let him cry out for us. That we would see the demonstration of the spirit and the power. That we would see the kingdom of God, not in word, but in power, in dunamis. We are in a unique place, Lord, in history. And because of that is a testimony of God's sovereign hand at work. Lord, you chose to place us strategically here and now in this place. And we want to be responsible. We want to partner with you, Holy Spirit, to see your kingdom be fulfilled in the earth. We want to be available. We want to say yes to you. Whenever you speak, whenever you direct us, whatever way that you're moving, that's where we want to go. We want to be a people called after your own heart. Bless you, Lord. Because what we have is not enough, Lord. And we're not going to let it make us feel guilty or shame us. But we want to make it get us desperate. Lord, we haven't had enough. We want more. We want more. We want more. Thank you, Lord, for calling us into the fullness of your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Just take a moment and seal in your heart your commitment to say yes to the Holy Spirit. To say yes to whatever he's doing, whenever he's doing it, whether it's on the job, in school, in my home, in our church, in the community, wherever he's calling you, allow him to speak his words into that, his power and the demonstration of his spirit to bring healing and deliverance and freedom, because you have given us so much, so freely. We want to give that away, Lord. We want to be partakers of your word and give away what you've given us. Take a moment and commit your heart to that. bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Prayer in the front if you want some prayer, but otherwise go in his grace.